Bonjour, bonjour.
I suggest we start this this workshop. Welcome everyone. My name is Mathieu Vey. I'm the general manager of AFNIC. AFNIC is a non-profit organization in charge of the management of .fr for France and other French territories TLDs. And the workshop today is organized by the Collège International, which is one of the constituencies of AFNIC. AFNIC is a membership organization. It's got several constituencies. One of them is composed of international partners, correspondents, and we have been involved for 10 years now. AFNIC is almost 10 years old. In development policies with this Collège International. We're doing trainings, we're doing other actions, and one of them is helping our partners automate their the management of their TLDs. So why did we have the idea of setting up this workshop? Because capacity building is one of the issues at stake in this forum, and the critical internet resources is another issue that's been added recently to the agenda of the IGF. And basically, we are at the crossing of these two issues. But I would like to stress right now that although we are going to speak about TLD management, domain names, we are really concerned about the development policy impacts of what we're doing. And this is what this action is about. It's really about capacity building. And why did we do we believe that the issue of automating NIC management is important? It's because there are potentially over 250 ccTLDs in the IANA database. If Kim Davis's figures yesterday are correct. And many of them are very small. A number of them do not really exist today. And a number of them are in need for growing or are reaching the stage where manual management is not enough. And a number of people are involved in helping these TLD managers growing and becoming more professional, and AFNIC is one of them. I would like to stress also that we are going to speak about a very particular solution that has been jointly developed in the Collège International, which is called CodeAFNIC. You have brochures on the chairs along the central row. About CodeAFNIC, but there are also solutions, and of course our philosophy is not to say that CodeAFNIC is widely above others. Of course it's better, there's no question about this, but we think it's always worth having some diversity in software as well. So the way I'm going to organize this this workshop is I will, in turn, give a 5-minute slot to each of the six speakers on my left, on the table right now. And after each of them, we will have a little Q&A. We can take a couple of questions in order for the workshop to be a little interactive. And of course, I will be in the very difficult role of keeping the timing. So right away, I'm turning myself towards Nicolas Peugeot. Nicolas is the driving force of the ICT development policy unit in the French Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And basically, my question, Nicolas, is what are you doing here? Why are you involved in this workshop on joint co-development of a software?
Good afternoon, everyone.
I won't say that I'm here because I brought the sun to you, because I arrived yesterday and I guessed that you had some rain showers on Monday and Tuesday, so I won't say that. More seriously, as Matthew mentioned it, I'm working at the ICT Development Policy Unit at the Department of Foreign Affairs. I won't be long. I just want to stress the fact that we support all international development actions run by the International College of AFNIC and AFNIC itself. And it's enshrined in ICT and internet development policy, internet governance development policy that we have focused on first getting developing countries to get participants into these kinds of events like the IGF, because they speak for themselves. Second, on capacity building, as Matthew mentioned here with the Codevnik project. The third one is to help structure the internet actors. For instance, we helped AFRINIC, the African Regional Internet Registry, to get on place. And the last focus is support developing countries in the management of their internet resources. That's because of the last focus that I'm here, so that we can talk about all this, saying that the department is helping Codevnik to get already a good start and get developed and deployed by other registries. Given the fact that we salute the efforts for the output, and we salute the efforts of the methodology, because it's a north-south cooperation, and it's also a south-south, more and more south-south development cooperation. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicolas. Is the mic working? Okay. I would never stress enough the quality of the partnership that the Foreign Affairs bring to the Collège International. I turn now towards Abdoulaye Diakité. Abdoulaye is a member of the ICT faculty at the Polytechnical Institute of the University of Conakry in Guinea. He's also the executive secretary of the Guinean Registry Association. And last but not least, he's the recently appointed chairman of the Collège International of AFNIC. And Abdoulaye, can you tell us a little more about the Collège International and what are the characteristics of its TLD members compared to general CCTLDs? And maybe you can tell us if all of these are very small AFNICs, or are they potential very signs of the future? What are we talking about when we're talking about members of the Collège International?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The international second slide, please. The International Collège International of AFNIC is a college built on co-development and solidarity philosophy applied to the internet and ICT fields. It has 33 members affiliated to AFNIC. AFNIC is the French Registry Association. These members include 14 CCTLD, ICT regulatory and promoting agencies, telco operators, ISP, academic institution. Next, please. International College is also, it includes also 16 countries, 4 continents, Africa, America, Europe, and Oceania. It also involves in a various association organization of the world. Next, please. The International College of AFNIC is also the C3. C3 is stand for Coordinating Committee for Co-Development, which supports politically and financially initiative launched by the college. The C3 includes such partners as UNESCO, French Ministry of Foreign and European Affairs, which is our main provider, financial provider, ADTF. Next. Now, I am going to activities, main activities of the College International. We have three types of activities. Shortly, capacity building, collaborative development, and meetings and cooperation. Sharing experience and best practice sharing, meetings and cooperation. In the field of capacity building, we are organized more than 15 workshops for ICT training of trainers. The last one will be held, has been held in Nouakchott from in October, from 22 October to 27. Next, please. What are the to answer to the question of the chairman? What are the members, the NIC members of International College? The NIC, or is another name of registries, members of International College are the small registries. They are small by size and scope. They have less than 10,000 domains. They are small by available resources, financial and organizational. They are small by size of people in charge of management. They are also different by style of management and duties. Part of this NIC have existing association or company or academy, or have not ruling at all by such organization. Number of them are fully local, have fully local management, or partially local management, or are ruling outside the country. Number of them are responsible of the registration policy, definition, the order not. Number of them are both registry and registrar. The order have only registry function. These members are small by size, but great on the basis of their definition and functionality. They intend to be such organization like AFNIC or nominate or affiliate. The general trend of our NIC members is toward a better management of the NIC in order to contribute significantly in the internet democratization and to play their role in the internet governance for the sustainable development. Quickly, on slide about the NIC understanding. The next. The main text of the NIC, I think everything is informed about, but one couple of words about the NIC core business. It consists to assign domain names in country code zone in cooperation with registrar, if there exists, to ensure access to the domain names wherever on the internet, to update the list of people in charge of domain, to ensure also billing, marketing, user support. The next main task is the policy definition in internet governance. And then, at last, the cooperation. Next, please. The Codev NIC project. This project has been set up more than 2 years ago to address the demand from the NIC members of the International College for better management on their core business. All stages of the project, from definition to implementation, have been made on the co-development framework. All work from project to product was also done on the collaborative model. So I am very happy to conclude here and to introduce the presentation of the Codev NIC free software solution by the key actors and contributors. From the left, we have Suleiman Mtanaga. Raft from Suleiman is from Ivory Coast, from Cote d'Ivoire, excuse me. Raft is from Madagascar. Max Larson from Haiti. And on my left, on my right, you have Stefan Wick is the co-developer, and Mathieu, the who
role moderator.
The team.
That's all.
The the AFNIC team with WIC, we co-developed the Codev. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Abdoulaye. I think the very important points that were made is that we are speaking about TLD managers who operate with scarce resources in terms of human resources, in terms of technical resources. We're speaking of institutional contexts which can be very complex. Abdoulaye didn't mention it, but a number of these TLD managers have known redelegation processes, sometimes very long, and they are facing national contexts which are not always as easy as we know them in Europe. And finally, it's important to note that it's not only about African countries. Of course, Max Larson here represents Dutch HT in the Caribbean, but we also have in the Collège International a European member, which is Albania. And take this opportunity to apologize for our Albanian colleague who was due to be here, but due to visa issues, he wasn't able to take the trip. I think maybe the time is ripe for a couple of questions, either on the Collège International itself or on the issues raised by Abdoulaye. Can you please introduce yourself and raise your question?
Thank you. I am Didier Cassolet from Congo. Just a question about membership of Collège International. What's the process? Who can become member? And then how can someone or some CCTLD become member of Collège International?
Mr. Chairman, you want to answer?
To be member of... thank you for the question. To be member of the Collège International, you have many ways. You can be the CCTLD week. Send the week of complete the application form of a corresponding member of the AFNIC. It is online. You can be the ISP, the academic institution. A physical body, an individual, and can be also be member of Collège International.
Yes, since actually the only requirement is to become a member of AFNIC in the Collège International. And as Abdoulaye said, it's as simple as filling the application form. And basically the commitment we ask for is to share the philosophy of the Collège International and be involved in your country's local internet community. So that's why we have half of our members who are TLD managers or involved in the TLD management, but half of them are not. Half of them are, as Abdoulaye said, regulatory authorities or academic institutions. And this is another point that's worth making, I think. Many of these TLD managers we're speaking about are involved in other things than TLD management. Maybe they are also involved in their research network in their own country or with ISPs. They can have several functions, and TLD manager is only one hat. And we recognize that by providing experience sharing and best practices in other fields than the strict TLD management. During our 2 days meetings once a year in Paris, we have sessions about data. What was the last one? We have sessions about education, e-learning, and e-administration, whatever our members' interests are. Another question? Not at this stage? So I turn to Stéphane Bortmeyer, who is an R&D engineer for AFNIC and also very active in IETF, development policies. He recently was doing a training for the Collège International in Nouakchott in Mauritania. That was 2 weeks ago, if I'm not mistaken. And he has been the project leader for Codevnik. So he's been trying to make the team work, and he will try to answer the questions, which are basically, what does Codevnik do? Who are the potential users of Codevnik? And can I do that in 5 minutes? Is it something that will be up and running in 5 minutes? You will give us a demonstration then?
Alors, I have a lot of slides, but don't worry, you will not see all of them. As we said, Codevnik is a software for managing a small or medium DNS registry. And one of the important things is to emphasize that managing a ccTLD registry does not require hundreds of machine, expensive data center, fast internet connection. It can be done with, well, low-tech system and resources. What is in a registry that Codevnik provides? First, the heart of a registry is a database of all the domain names and all the information about the domain names. Then the tools to update and query the database. For instance, a very common tool to query the database is Whois. The user can use Whois to retrieve information from the database about the domain name, the contact, and so on. Also, there are some applications like the DNS zone file generator, because the purpose of a DNS registry is at the end to have functioning name servers with data extracted from the database. And Codevnik provides all of these tools. What were the requirements for the design of Codevnik? Because they help to understand why we develop specific software instead of using maybe software already existing. The main requirement was to be multi-policy, because every ccTLD has a different set of registration rules. That means they have different ways of doing business, there are different rules on who can create a domain, in what condition, etc. And there is no, as the center workshop says, there is no one size that would fit everyone. Codevnik also had to be free software, free as in free speech, which means not only gratis, but also completely available with source code and with the ability for people to modify it, to adapt it, to distribute it to someone else, etc. Codevnik had to be manageable from the registry or from the external world, which means that the emphasis, for instance, was on a simple programming interface, so allowing people from the registry or from outside to develop applications that use the database. Entirely automatic, of course, the idea was to domain name registry should be able to work without human attendance, except to boot the machine and to stop it. And co-developed, which was something important in Codevnik. If at the IDF you've heard a lot of buzzwords, you've heard about multi-stakeholderism, you've heard about critical internet resources, about a bottom-up policy development process, etc. So all of this buzzwords are not always accompanied by content, by actual content. In our case, co-development means something. It means that we don't develop in France a program that we send to the African and they're supposed to use it as it is and to thank us. It means that the program was, from the start, completely developed by the people that will use it. The requirements, the general architecture, the coding, the testing, and finally the installation. So, as I said, one other requirement was it was mostly for small and medium registry, so do not attempt to use, if there is someone from VeriSign in the room, do not attempt to use Codevnik for managing .com. It was not a target. So the most important requirement, as I said, was the fact that it is multi-policy. For instance, some registry use a registry registrar system, and some sell directly to the clients. Even if you have a registry registrar system, you can have a lot of choices. For instance, what is the authority of on contact? For instance, if there is a contact which is a natural person with a name, phone number, address, etc., who is able to change the information? A registrar or the person directly? You can have both. Do you do IDN or not? Well, it's also a policy choice. Is the registration completely synchronous, which means that people request something it is created and they have the domain, or do you have some sort of screening? Maybe the regulator or the government asks the registry to have some paper screening before? And do you have automatic expiration of the domain name, or do they have to be explicitly deleted? All these choices are different depending on the registry. So an important point of Codevnik was to be able to handle all these policies. And of course, one last one, personal data protection, which is also a hot topic. So how did the project worked in practice? There were three teams working in different countries, one in Madagascar, one in Ivory Coast, and one in France. As I said, it was not outsourcing. It was not requirements made in France, and then we pushed the work to someone in a remote country. It was completely co-development between three teams working together, each doing part of the work. The three teams, as I mentioned on the slide, were the national registry for three domains, because the idea was it's better when a software is designed by the people that will use it. So it's better if a software for a NIC is designed by people who actually run a NIC. And most of the financing, as said, came from the French government. We thank them. The process was, first we started with, we worked mostly remotely. It was also a case of the use of the internet to allow international cooperation, but we had at the beginning of the process a physical workshop of 1 month where everyone gathered to discuss, to prototype, to brainstorm, to learn from each other. Then the people came back from the countries. There were not only people in the core development team at this workshop, but also people from other NIC. You have the list here. And then they move back to their countries, and we started to work with ICT tools like version control system, Subversion, ticket tracking system, request tracker, mailing list, instant messaging, and so on. It was not always easy. For instance, people in Madagascar had the problem of a very poor internet connectivity during all the process. People in Ivory Coast had the problem of civil war. But despite of these difficulties, we managed to complete something which is today deployed in .ci. I move quite fast on the technical slides. You can ask me after about this, but not everyone here is a techie, so maybe not everyone is interested. So as I said, Codevnik is today operational in .ci, and other TLD are interested, but they will talk themselves about their interest. So in its current state, Codevnik has not been deployed on more than one TLD. So we need certainly more deployments to be able to claim that it works, everything is perfect. The installation process and the documentation can certainly be improved. This is a reply to the question about, can I double click and have Codevnik installed in 5 minutes? Unfortunately, no, you cannot. And I'm not sure it would be a good idea anyway, because a registry is not only a software, it's not a word processing. It's a lot of process, a billing, a legal process, a backup. Of course, you need a strong backup, because you cannot leave the database only in one place. You have everything of this to configure. So the software itself is not the most difficult point, even if I admit that sometimes it could be better. Some pieces are unfortunately missing. For instance, Codevnik was designed to be completely international, Unicode from the bottom to the top. But the support for IDN is only partial at the present time. We have still a few things that don't work with IDN, so more developers are welcome. It's free software. You can use it, you can help, you can patch, you can send patches. You will be welcome. I'm ready for questions. And if you want a demonstration, well, it's a bit difficult because a registry is not something that you can, it's not graphic software. So it will be better if we do them after the workshop on my laptop.
Okay, I've got two questions. We've got four questions. Woo.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Lodewijk van Graan from Namibia. What constitutes a small or medium registry? I think I missed that. So if you say it's suitable for a small or medium registry, what exactly is that? How big are we talking?
Well, there are no hard limits in Codevnik. What I can say is that we tested the software up to 10,000 domains, if I remember. So we are certain it works fine at this size. But we didn't try, because when you want to manage something the size of .fr, .nl, or of course .com, you have a lot more problems. The target was something like, as I said, 10,000 domains, because this is something that you can manage on any PC. So you don't need a lot of servers, you don't need special software. Any PC with off-the-shelf software is sufficient for that. If you want to really to get in business against VeriSign and to have more domains than them, it may be a different story. I don't mean that Codevnik would not work, simply that we didn't tune it for that.
Thank you, Stefan.
Yes, my name is Alain Ayina from Africa. My question is, under which license Codevnik is distributed?
I forgot.
Very short answer possible.
GPL.
I'm Didier Cassolet, but I think that my question is not more relevant, because it was about the scalability of the Codevnik. So is it not possible to generate, you know, I don't know, even not in real situation, you can generate a lot of domain name and to try it. Is it possible to test it, to test scalability of the Codevnik?
Well, the scalability was tested by generating a lot of dummy domains and registering them.
I say to, because you say that it's for small registry. So now, and then you say again that you already test it, try it for a small registry with 10,000. So my question is, you think that it's scalable. So why you don't try it? I think you can do a simulation and then to try to see if it's scalable. So you can confirm that it's scalable, that can manage 1 billion of domain.
That's a good idea, yeah.
No last question? We can always have a round of questions at the end of the end of the workshop. I think we'll be able to do that. So I now turn to Raft. I will just call you Raft, because otherwise it would be too complicated. So Raft is a member of the NIC-MG committee in charge of managing .mg for Madagascar. He's the technical contact of .mg, and it's worth noting that .mg is also a CCTLD manager. It's also a pioneer on the internet expansion in Madagascar, which is, of course, something that's very important and difficult in an island, especially in the Indian Ocean. So Raft, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. I'll speak to you of our testimony in Codevnik co-development. In summary, I present 3 points. First, the motivations prior to development itself, and second point, about feedbacks at development level itself, and I give a floor from my speech during development stage. In conclusion, I will speak of perspectives. My first slide is about to locate first where is the country, NIC-MG. As you see, it's located in the Western Indian Ocean. I give you some data just to respond to Namibia intervention, that you are a very small registry, because you see that our domain names is around 600, around 10 per month. No, it's a very small energy. The number of ISPs, 5. Over a population of 17 million, you have just now internet users of around 1 million. It's mainly composed of young urban people. Next, please. I would like to speak about the fee. As I said before, that maybe it's expensive enough. It's due to connection type by satellite. Maybe when you achieve at the end of 2008 the optical fiber installation, maybe the cost is reduced. Let's hope. Well, the next slide, please. So about our motivations. First, if we take part in this co-development, you think of reducing the delay in terms of newly created domain name, and why not to get out of daily routine as to manual DN registering, and to globally speaking, you want to feel love of sharing. Why not to want to discover, to distribute, to contribute, and to implement and test of our know-how in terms of software development. It is also an opportunity to work virtually with a team spirit. And you have to transmit at a short midterm acquired now towards our privileged partners, other NICs and ISPs, registrars, particularly in research and education areas. About feedbacks, in terms of development itself, it was a necessity of a strong self-discipline in the group, because if you discover some problem, you have to register as soon as possible in order to be able to move further. And it's an obligation for developers to be available in full time due to coordination constraints. At ESP's level, just it's an informal contact during the development. As I said before, that the number of active ISPs is now 5. Responses from them are particularly the time sharing. And you have a comfortable interaction in front of the software, and also the new look. It's for this slide is just for a reminder how we work before. It's a very manual procedure. So I conclude that it is a very beneficial experience in terms of co-development itself. And we acquire significant knowledge. And our next action is to wireless to automatize by ISPs. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Raft. So you did mention the technical conditions that your developers were facing when co-developing, which were also pretty tight. And I think it was very encouraging to see that although connectivity was irregular, the co-development could go on, and that's a good thing. Are there questions for Raft in the room? Remind me your name.
Yeah, it's Didier Cassolet again. So you mentioned that you have only 600 domains registered. I have a few questions, too. First one is the MG open to registrar? And then the second one is, what is the criteria to be to register a name? Do I must be a Malgash resident or citizen to register a name, or it is open to everybody?
So do you need to go through a registrar to register.mg, or do you does the customer just ask you directly? You mentioned the five ISPs.
You have the model registrant.
Okay. This so you need to go through one of these five ISPs. Mm-hmm. And the second question was about who can I register .mg, or do I have to be a resident on the island?
No. You can register when you are abroad, if you are in abroad.
Okay. It's so you can register your .mg.
Maybe not your name. You can register a domain name.
Okay. If there's no other question for Raft, turn to Max Larson Henry from NIC HT, Haiti in the Caribbean. Max is the tech contact of .HT and. He's participated to the development of the TLD from a policy and a technical perspective. It's very important to remind everyone that it's never only a technical issue. He's served for 3 years as the R&D director of the largest Haitian ISP, and he's led the deployment of the first WiMAX network on the island. And there's not WiMAX on every island around the globe, so it's a great achievement. And currently, he's working to establish the first internet exchange point in Haiti, which also is an important issue for connectivity and quality of service. He's got an extensive bio because he's also a professor at the Faculty of Sciences at the State University of Haiti, Max, that's right. And ICT advisor for the regulatory authority and the Ministry of Works, Transport and Communications. And finally, he's also founded his own company for computer services. So Max, with that being said, you were part of the beginning of Codevnik. You're currently assessing whether you will go further and implement it for the THD. What are your thoughts about the pros and cons, and what will make your decision in favor or against Codevnik?
Thank you, Chairman, and good afternoon. I will try to make a very brief presentation. Just to give you an overview about our situation as a ccTLD.ht, and give some explanation also about our technical infrastructure and the need for a brand new management system, and our perspective about the Codevnik project. A quick overview of .ht in March 2002. I kind of received an expression of interest for the redelegation of .ht, the Ministry of Public Works, Transportation and Communications, actually back up this expression of interest. And the redelegation has been effective in January 2004. And we began with operation of selling domain names and accredited registrars in May 2004. Next slide, please. .HT is an open registry based on a registrar model, so we don't sell directly to end user. They have to contact one of accredited registrars, they pay an annual fee to be accredited. We have some technical requirement as to be able to register a name on .ht, you need to have two working name servers, and we use ZoneCheck to validate the configuration to do some sanity check. The problem is that we do that before actually register the name, but we cannot do that on a continually basis to try to see if the domain name that has been registered is still configured very well. Some requirement about the name should not be generic. You cannot have like say french.ht, algeria.ht, and the name should not be an internet protocol, and the name should not be an offensive. As for the statistics, currently we have registered around 1,000 domain names, and we have 26 accredited registrars. This pie graph gives you an idea about the distribution of the domain names on the HT. And actually, all the subdomain are, most of them are open, except the last three lowers, med.ht, edu.ht, and gov.ht, the equivalent of gov. The registrar need to provide some paper that before being able to register those names. Next slide, please. Our technical infrastructure, .ht is currently serving but by five name servers at École Polytechnique de Montréal, University of Princeton, and two in Haiti, and one at AFNIC. Actually, it is important to notice that in our technical infrastructure that two of the servers that are located in Haiti are host at ISP that use a satellite connection. And the IP that we are using is not our IP address, is the IP address of the ISP. It is important to mention that for the stability of our infrastructure, because if the ISP have to change IP address, so we'll be in trouble. We are using some simple tools, powerful for us, SSH, TAR, SCP, on a day-to-day basis to backup and to update zone file. We are not using a file generator system to generate the zone file from a database, so we need to edit using VI. And for 1,000 name, it's okay. We have been developed an in-house application for registration, online registration and billing, and this application is hosted at another ISP. So the problem was, for example, for the Wiz server that we are using that is located at the first ISP to do some MySQL replication, because of the stability of the link between the two ISPs actually, and because we don't have interconnection, and we didn't have interconnection at this time in Haiti, so we couldn't do that. So why do we need another system? Next slide, please. I mentioned in the previous slide that we have developed an in-house system using ColdFusion and MySQL database. ColdFusion is a proprietary software, and sometimes if we need to update the operating system, we have to reinstall completely the ColdFusion package, or if we need to reinstall the newer version of ColdFusion, we are running out of trouble with the operating system. So it's a real pain, actually, because the software that we are using actually is proprietary software. There is a need for more module, more functions. We were to develop entirely the actual system, and probably we need more resources to continue the process of adding more and more functions. So what do we need is a cost-effective solution, a modular solution, a flexible solution, and a secure solution, a solution for which you will find some support. That has led us to evaluate the CodevNIC solution. Why? Because we are part of it. We have been at the first stage of the development of this project, and we do think that the CodevNIC solution is a cost-effective solution with lots of generic components, a generic quiz, zone file generators, actually the blocks that we do need. And CodevNIC don't have a restrictive license. And from a capacity building perspective, I think it is interesting because once you get your hand into CodevNIC, at the end of the day, you got some real skills in programming, Python programming, that database, and all the ins and outs of the management, from day-to-day management of CCTLD. So where do we go from here? We are going to continue to evaluate CodevNIC and maybe some other solution out there. And definitely by January 2008 or February, make a choice and deploy an application with those, at least those component registration, online registration, with a zone file generator. We need also, because we do think that it is important for the stability of CCTLD, obtain numbering resources from LACNIC, part of their minimum allocation policy, to have our own AS on IP addresses, because we think it is important to for a CCTLD who is managing a critical resource. It should not be dependent on IP address or numbering resource from an ISP. And we should have some more reliable internet connectivity, maybe be multi-home, and increase reliability that will permit us to increase reliability and to enforce fitness in our services, have a better response time for the community that we are serving, maybe change our policy to make the service more flexible. And to finish, I would like to say that we are committed to work on a couple of projects to help the local internet community, like the Asian Internet Exchange Point, maybe have host and Anycast would copy in Haiti, and continue off with IPv6 training and deployment in Haiti. Thank you.
Thank you, Max. I think this example is very, very interesting in terms of the characteristics of Dutch HT, which are very illustrative of what we can face when you are launching a new TLD management system, and I'm sure you'll do take the appropriate decision. I have a question over here.
I'm Reynold Guerrier from civil society in Haiti. My question goes to Mr. Larson. When can we expect a completely automated and online registration system for the HT domain?
Our goal is to have finish with the deployment of the new system by February 2008, to be very pessimistic. So, yes, February 2008.
I'd like to know, what process are you currently employing to test the solution without having it affect your actual domains which are running? Secondly, if you had to highlight the worst part of the solution, what would it be? It's a very negative question, I know, and I'm sorry for it, but But what is, if you could highlight it?
The worst part of the code evening solution. I think both from the documentation, but I think Stefan has said that this part is going to, they are going to work on it, and I think the interface is not fancy. Actually, it is not a requirement for us as a registry, but people that are going to use this solution, we have 26 registrars all around the world, and I think it will be a good thing for Code Evening to work on the interface. Because the people actually we will be using from the registrars, even from VeriSign or Safe Names, are not necessarily techie people. So I think we will have a lot of questions regarding this aspect. This is one of a few things I think that maybe would need to be addressed.
Yeah, it's clearly one point in the project that is undergoing works. If I can give my personal answer to the question, it's, I think the worst part is also the main requirement, is the capacity building part. Because when you are you need to put some resources on it. You need to put some internal resources and be able to adapt the software to your own needs, which is not the case with other solutions where it comes as a box and it's already and it's faster. But it's also a good point, because after that, you're mastering the software, you're mastering your core business. So, well, that's my own answer.
Yes, Boubacar Barry from NIC Senegal and Association of African Universities. You mentioned in your presentation that one important issue, which is very important for NIC.ht, to choose this solution is, for instance, support. What are the mechanisms in place for supporting the deployment of Code Evening if, say, .ht or another NIC decide to do so? Thank you.
Yeah, I think in the open source community, I think it is almost mandatory to have a means for people, for user to get in touch when they have a problem, to post something in a mailing list, to ask even a dummy question. I was thinking about that, and I think Code Evening is, for now, it is a small community, but it is very active. And so from this point, I don't think it is a problem for you, potential Code Evening users. If they have a problem, they just send an email to the development team or to post a question on the mailing list. They will find surely an answer. So I was just referring about this kind of support. In this aspect, there is nothing to say. That the support is okay, has been okay for me.
Yes, the supporting team is still involved in the Code Evening deployment or the Code Evening project. So, fortunately, it's providing service, and of course, it's going as time goes by. It's going to be more and more important that there are other deployments, so that if people change hats, we keep getting support. Just like any free software community, you need to have a critical mass of people who know the project. I'm turning now to our last but not the least speaker, Suleiman Umtanaga. He's been one of the developers of Code Evening. He's the technical manager of .ci for Ivory Coast, and he's also vice president of AFTLD, a very interesting organization. So Suleiman, Codevnik is up and running on .ci. Can we see it? And what's your feedback about the project, of which you've been a very strong driving force? And then if we can, at the end, probably a few words about AFTLD and basically in what forums this type of discussion can take place in Africa, because we're here in Rio with a number of people from Africa. Isn't there a place in Africa where you can discuss this?
Hello, I am Suleiman Umtanaga from Ivory Coast, .ci/CCTLD manager. So I'm going to present first Nick CI and second Codevnik. So Nick CI is a non-lucrative association responsible for the management of .ci/CCTLD. The objective of Nick CI is to maintain and promote the operational stability and utility of .ci/CTLD. To ensure its task, the register needs a technical infrastructure. For example, an interface to update data, a zone generator to produce data which will be published in the DNS, a UI server which allow public to have information about domain names. The Network Information Center Ivory Coast use Codevnik to manage its activity. This includes domains approval, domains management. Codevnik is very flexible, as Stefan Bosmeyer said. Further are chosen in the configuration file. Here are some further of Nixing: registrar management, expiration of domains, several technical contacts, no synchronous domain creations. Codevnik has many components, including XML. Mr. Stefan Bosmeyer has told about that. I'm going to pass in the next slide. So here is the first interface of the Codevnik. I'm going to go to the net to show the real tools. Windows. What you can see is the domain, contact, host, registrar, and words. If you selection domains, you can create a domain name, you can change contact, you can change name servers, you can delete, you can change status, you can change expiration and delete. So when you choose create domain, for example, the step one is before registering your domain, you have to check if it is available. If you want to create your domain with only new contact, choose create with new contacts. Also, if you want to create it with both existing contacts, you have to create the first new contact. For example, I take one example. CE.ci. Up. You see that, sorry, your domain name CE.ci is not available. So you can't create it, but if I select another domain name, like EGF, for example, yes, EGF is available. Okay, so you can create EGF. Also, you can change contact of domain names. If a registrar want to change contact, he have to choose change contact, and then he can put names, address, emails, zip code, person, fax, and so on. You can also change name server. To change name server, you have to give the domain names. For example, CE.ci. I want to. Okay. You see that CE is managed by afnet.net, ns1.afnet.net, ns2.afnet.net. So here you can add name servers or change other name servers. Okay, this is a demonstration, and all the data put in Codevnik is published in the WIS database. You can see that the WIS is WIS.nic.ce. Okay. Here is the WIS. So the domain name, like CIE.ci, you can see that in the WIS database, we have all information regarding CIE.ci. Okay. So another thing of Codevnik is also the zone generator. It is a very important component. We can generate a file zone with Codevnik. This is the demonstration. According to IFTLD, we have to promote Codevnik in our workshop. So in IFTLD, I invite all CCTLD in this room to use Codevnik because it is a good tool. So I finish. If there is question about my presentation, I am here to give answers. Thank you.
Okay, we'll take questions and then we'll come back on IFTLD.
This is Alain Aina again. Suleiman, on the WHOIS page, I'm seeing Afrinic there. I know Afrinic has nothing to do with domain name. So why do you have Afrinic there?
What is Afrinic? No, this is just a link. This is just a link. Like WHOIS, NICSE, YANA, Afrinic, and so on.
Okay, so my second question is maybe for you or for Stefan, is how do you manage domain expiration? If a domain expired, does it goes to the registry pool or it remain in a registrar pool for some time? Is there any grace period, etc.? How do you manage that in Codevnik?
Okay, our model is registry registrar. We work with only registrar, but not with end users. So if the delay is come, I think the registries have the duty to modify the delay, but not the registrar, because there is a billing. According to that, it is the NICSE who manage the delay.
First, it's a very good example, so thank you for asking the question, because it's a very good example of the things that are different according to the registry. For instance, some registries like .fr or .eu do not have automatic expiration. So domain has to be explicitly deleted. So Codevnik handle both cases. If there is automatic expiration, there is a system of redemption, which is a grace period during which the domain is not cannot be registered again. You configure this in the configuration file before building the database. You say that the redemption period is 15 days, something like that. So all of these choices can be done only by editing the configuration file. But life is never perfect. If you want more, then you will need to dig into the code. For instance, there is something that Codevnik does not implement, if I'm correct. It's a two-stage redemption period. If you have a redemption period made of two parts, one during which only the original registrar can register and one with relaxed rules, well, you cannot do it currently in Codevnik. You have to program it. But if you want redemption period, no redemption period, automatic expiration, explicit deletion, etc., it's already there.
It's me again, Reynold from Haiti Civil Society. What will happen if I try to create a bogus domain name?
Can you explain what you mean by bogus?
Yes. By example, if I try to create a domain name that means anything with the suffix, like instead of putting ht, I put something .h, which is some kind of suffix that not exist. Now, what will happen with Codevnik?
Okay. In any case, the database will refuse it because the database is full of stored procedures and integrity constraints that test a lot of things, among them that the TLD is the good one. You set it in the configuration file and then you can register domain only in this TLD. One of the limits of Codevnik is that it does not handle the case where you have multiple TLD. You know, the people who like to collect TLD, it doesn't work at the present time. But if you have only one TLD, the database itself will refuse a lot of things. Above the database are other software layers that can do more tests or provide better error messages. But in any case, the technical choice was to make the database as much as possible, very resistant to this sort of errors. So even if the programmers forget to test the case in the web interface, the database will refuse it, will reject it.
Didier Cassolet again. My question is short one. Is Codevnik compatible IPv6?
I didn't try, to tell the truth, but all the networking code, for instance, in the UIS server, is done by high-level libraries. We don't directly open socket or close bind, etc. So it should work directly with IPv6 without any client. What is certainly IPv6 compatible is the database. When you put the IP address of the name server, yes, you can put IPv6 address, it works. Now for the network servers like the UIS server, I believe it should work because everything was programmed in, with high-level libraries and language. So from my experience in other cases, it should work with IPv6. But to tell the truth, we didn't test. So we welcome bug reports if there is a problem. It should work.
Okay, my question before, I want to know if in Codevnik, or is native Codevnik, or the Codevnik version Cote d'Ivoire is using, do you have provision for checking the delegation, mainly the glue record, when people are creating domain name? Do you check if glue record are missing, etc., before you created the domain in the zone file? Do you understand my question?
What do we check? No, I don't understand.
Do you test in software, in your, the native version, or maybe the one Cote d'Ivoire using, checking the delegation path, checking if people has put glue when glue are needed, and refuse glue when people put glue, when glue are not needed?
Well, the zone generator does not publish the glue if it is useless. But I believe that the software does not really test it, which means that if the user does not send... Well, there are two cases. The case when the user give too many glue. In that case, it will not be published because the zone generator will not use it, but that's all. It will still lay in the database useless, which is certainly something we could improve. Second case is a case where the person do not publish enough glue. In that case, if your registry is configured to test technically test the domain before the delegation, it will be catched at this time through the use of the zone check tool. But if you don't test, well, I think that it is a feature, not a bug, because if you decide not to test technically before delegation, it means that you you allow your users to shoot themselves in the foot, and Codevnik will not prevent it.
Okay, we've got two last questions.
I have two myself, two short ones. Two short questions.
Okay,
the first one is, the first one is, the registration is not synchron. So what is the process? You have pending applications that have to be approved. And yes. In that case, what is the mean delay? In how many days do you process for a domain name? And the second one, did you experience any difficulties when migrating from your old system to Codevnik?
Very good questions.
Okay.
Very short answers.
Hello. How is it?
So when a registrar wants to register a domain, the request comes, he used Kulevnik to register the domain, to create contact, a host name and contact. And then we have a mail via request tractor. So then we validate the request. And then we generate the zone file. And after, the old zone file will overwrite, the new zone file will overwrite the old zone file. And the domain name is created. This takes.
How long does it take?
How long? 2 hours. It is very, very, very quick.
Okay. Okay. And you update the zone file every time?
Yes.
Okay.
So between Kodevnik and the old management of the Nix CI, I think there is, comment amélioration, there is, there is an improvement now. Because the registrar have a tools to manage their domain names. They can see how many domain names they have. They can modify the domain name without contacting the registry. This is. Where? No, we don't see any problem about
this. It was seamless. It was seamless. You didn't even feel the difficulties. No. Very good. Thank you, Solana.
It is simple.
I would just one precision about the synchronous registration.
Well.
It is not synchronous in the case of .ci, but Kodevnik can work in synchronous mode. You wanted to add something, Suleiman?
No.
We've got one last question, and then we'll wrap up.
One of the flaws of open source and free software is that it is a good solution now, but because there is no capitalistic or no money-making initiative to upgrade and develop it more, sometimes these kinds of solutions are made, left, and not changed. What is your strategy for future development and for continuous improvement of this solution?
Very good question. Stefan?
First, this problem, which certainly is a big one, but is in no way specific to free software, because in my whole career in ICT, I've seen many, many proprietary software being abandoned, no longer maintained. So this is a general problem with ICT. Now, for the case of Kodevnik, at the present time, it's quite recent, so it's not yet a problem. In the future, we depend on the users, we depend on users that will use it and will devote resources to improvement, to change. That's why it's important to have it deployed in many countries, because we increase the chance that there will be, as Mathieu said, a critical mass of users to modify it. But I repeat, it's exactly the same with any software solution. It's exactly the same problem.
It's one other element to answer the question is AFNIC's commitment to this project through its Collège International. The Collège has been in place for 10 years now, and it's embedded in our own missions and objectives as an association to be transferring our know-how and working in cooperation with our members. So, basically, we are relying on users' involvement, but we are here to provide some continuity in the system, just like we did this real very important part of coordination during the development phase. So, that gives another element, which is not a definite answer, because no one can know exactly what the future is, but we are very committed to supporting this this product, and probably Nicolas will add that we're not alone.
I'm not saying that, I won't say that the business plan is based on the Department of Foreign Affairs funding. I won't say that. But what I would just say is that for some of the deployment, for the next deployment of CodeEvnik in the next two testing NICs, we're going to support and we're going to cover some, I mean, the major cost in terms of human resources. So what I'm saying is that a part of the problem, we can deal with it. But obviously, this is not to be the main core of the business plan behind it. But as I've been said, the more NICs are in, the better, and you can be.
And the the support provided either by AFNIC or the Foreign Affairs is essential, but it's basically an issue with capacity building. So you need to have human resources at the end, and that's and a project which goes far beyond these technical issues. So to wrap up this workshop, I would like to stress the fact that this was just an example of a co-development project. There can be examples in other fields, and maybe IPv6, maybe other fields related to fighting spam or developing whatever topic, security in ICT infrastructures. And we really wanted to underline how this approach is valuable for the people who build their capacity, but also valuable from the point of view that we've been in as AFNIC, which is the ones trying to facilitate this capacity building. And I think it's really the lesson we've learned is that capacity building is a strong effort, but it's rewarding for people who are doing this job. And finally, of course, I would like to thank all the speakers who've made the effort to speak in English. I would like to stress this, and who were very good on the timing, very good, very clear on their presentations. And of course, thank you very much to the audience for the very good questions. There was no taboo, and it's important. I'm pretty sure that this discussion can go on. It's been quite interactive. It can go on offline right now in the coming weeks or months. And I really wish that a number of platforms, especially in Africa with AFTLD, can provide new forums for discussing related issues, not only CodeEvnik, of course, about TLD management in different countries. Thank you. One last word: tomorrow at 8:30, there are two very interesting workshops, so you need to get up early. The first one, the most interesting one, of course, is the one related to the strategy for internet governance in Africa. And you will, if you go there, you will see a few faces which will be familiar to you, which I see in the room. And secondly, another workshop, unfortunately, at the same time, organized by Center, but several regional organizations of TLDs. And it's called There Is No One Size Fits All. And it's about presenting different models of registry. So we'll give an echo in different contexts of what we've been discussing this. So thank you, everyone. And have a nice continuation of this IGF. Thank you very much for your questions. Here, the last remaining four DVDs about internet prospective and governance, and it's up for people who want it. Questions, so you can have it.